Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back here with you again. I've got that song. Is it A Joyful Heart? Is that what they were singing? Our little babies were singing this morning. You know how you get songs stuck in your head? This one's all right to have stuck in your head. It sure beats the alternatives. But sure do appreciate even having the little ones having a part in the service. It just really, really warms my heart. And just belting it out. Some of them are just really laying it out there. Others will eventually as well. But we just thank the Lord for their contribution. Amen. Amen, amen. If you would stand at the sound of thy voice, part two. So I thank you for your patience with me, allowing me to verbalize my one of the problems that I was having with the notes, and I got it resolved. So if I hadn't have verbalized it, I would have forgot, and the pattern would have just kept repeating, right? It'd be one of those things that, what am I talking about? Yeah. One of those things that, anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I was talking to my grandson, Grayson, in the office, and I said something about Jonah being in the whale, and he said, oh, it's not a whale, Grandpa, it's a fish. Somebody's listening. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So you can see what this is a type of. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars. So he was one of the first deep sea divers, right? Telling us that there's mountains down there. And was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. This is the speaking of resurrection. Yes. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Isn't that a good thing, friends? Amen. And my prayer came in unto thee, even into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. So he's given his testimony that God is my Savior. Not, he doesn't wait for evidence to say God is my Savior. He says God is my Savior. And then God saves him. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come here in the evening time, we just thank you once again for another opportunity to serve you. Lord, for the breath that we have, the air that we have in our lungs to give you praise and honor and glory, and to Lord, for the opportunities that we still have here while we're walking on the earth to get to know you better, to know your ways, your word, and Lord, for that character to be formed within us. And we pray, Lord, that you be pleased with our walk, that you be pleased, Lord, with the best thing that we can do is not do something, but just surrender to you. And if we can surrender and just let you have your way, You already know what you want done with our lives. You already know what you plan to accomplish by your word through our lives. And Lord, we just want to surrender to that. And our desire is that you glory would be brought to your name, and that others would come to know you, and that your plan would be furthered along. Father, forgive us for our failures, our slowness of heart at times. And Lord, give us the portion that we have need of here tonight as we come in expectation once again for you to speak to us out of thy word. And we know that your word is power. Lord, quicken it by your spirit, we pray, and make it live. And we surely give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So we see that Jonah was faced with negative circumstances, if you will, on every side. He was in one of those situations where, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. It must have been quiet for a little bit. And yet he refused to observe the circumstances, recognizing what they were, which is lying vanities. Now, friends, what we need to recognize here, first of all, is that this isn't day one of a Christian walk. But this is learned behavior that must be practiced and it must be put into action. We learn to recognize that circumstances are lying vanities. We learn to recognize that the word is what's true. And let God's word be true and every man's word be a lie. So two things are going on here in this drama. First of all, Jonah has put his trust into the word of God solely, completely. His confidence is only in the word of God. And therefore, he's familiar with the word, and so he can draw on it for his particular situation. So it's wonderful that we have the word, and we rejoice over it, and we thank the Lord for it. But it does us no good if we don't know what's in it. If you don't know what's in it, you won't put it into action. And that's why it's essential. A Christian reads their Bible and prays every day. They have to. That's a quote. Secondly, Jonah wasn't denying that he was in the belly of a whale. This isn't, people say, well, if somebody asks me, how am I doing? And I say, good. Well, aren't I lying? Well, you're not denying that something's coming against you to try to get you to feel bad, but you're just not acknowledging it. You know, just like a fly buzzing around your head, you don't have to focus on it, right? He was on the inside of a fish, so we're not denying that. But he wasn't focusing on the circumstances and thereby giving life to the circumstances and making that what was his focus. So when he found himself in this trial, he remembered what Solomon had prayed. And let's look at it here in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, which we know is Jerusalem, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. So we have that. They had that promise that whenever they were in trouble, just look towards Jerusalem, look towards the tabernacle, Solomon's tabernacle, and call upon the name of the Lord, and he will hear from you. Friends, we don't have to do that now. We don't have to carry a compass around in our pocket. Let's see, which way is Mecca? Which way is Jerusalem? Which way is this or that? Or is this true north? Or is this magnetic north? Or we don't need some kind of a GPS. We don't look to some particular spot on the face of the earth. We look to the throne. Amen. We look to our high priest. And friends, he's only as far away as we put him. He hears every time that you cry out. He hears every prayer. He's waiting to, as your high priest, waiting to move on your case and move on your behalf. So all we have to do is to look to him, and it doesn't matter what direction that we look, we can look to him. So we're not constrained by physicality. So Jonah didn't stop to observe and focus on his circumstances. He went to the word of the Lord and considered what the word of the Lord had declared. He didn't stop to consider that Solomon had prayed this prayer and that Solomon also later on backslid. He wasn't thinking of pondering over that, wondering if God would still honor that prayer after Solomon made mistakes. His trust was in the Lord, and he put the word before his trial. His confidence was such that the word would work things out for him. So his trust was in the Lord, and he put the word before his trial and focused on the word. He did recognize where he was at. You know, it's just like the scripture that says, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Well, we don't want to be so naive that we're just, a target for everyone to take advantage of us. We want to be wise to the ways of the devil, but we don't want to focus on it. We want to be harmless as doves. We don't want that to be our, what we're looking at constantly. But we do want to recognize it. So he recognized where he was at, but he didn't go through the first, second, and third pull of his circumstances and his conditions. He didn't have a woe is me testimony. He wasn't going to slit his wrists. He didn't freak out and scream and kick. But he was very well aware of his circumstances. This kind of reminds me of the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, that came back from Kadesh Barnea and gave their report of the land. All of the spies that went to spy out the land, they were all message followers. They were all following Moses' message, and they were all told that it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. They were all told what to expect when they got there, but only two out of the 12 put the word of the Lord before all of their circumstances. They did not testify, these two did not testify of the giants that were in the land when they gave their reports. Now, were they aware that there were giants in the land? Of course. Did they know that there were things that would have to be dealt with once they got into the land? Yes. Did they see that they would have to actually take possession of their property, just like you finding out that you inherited a house, and you go to that house and you find that somebody's squatting in your house? Well, you're not going to be all focused. That's not going to be your total focus. You're not going to say, well, I'm not going to go take my inheritance because somebody's already there, right? You're going to recognize it, but you're excited about the house because it's yours and you've been told that it's yours, and you'll deal with whatever you have to deal with when you get there. So they did not testify of the giants when they gave their reports, as the other 10 did. Instead, they said only what the word said. They said only what the word declared. And guess what? That was their reality. Years later, we find them taking the land according to the promise. Friends, why would God give to them a land that they could not inhabit or possess?
Right.
It's senseless. Why would God purchase your healing if you couldn't possess it? Why would he purchase your salvation if you couldn't be saved?
Right.
Why would he pay for your deliverance if you couldn't be delivered?
Right.
Why would God give to us exceeding great and precious promises that we could never possess?
Right.
He's not dangling them out in front of us saying, okay, the fastest, the hardest working, the most religious amongst you, maybe they'll obtain this. But no, this belongs to every son and daughter of God. It would make no sense for God to put something before us that we can't possess. So we need to be clear on just what speaking the word is. We've heard about that, and people have preached on it and talked about it for many, many years. Speaking the word is saying the same thing that another has already said. So it's not you coming up with a new thought. It's not you coming up with a new idea. When God brought the creatures before Adam in the garden so that Adam could name them,
right.
Adam named them what God already named them.
Right.
Adam said, let thy will, which is in heaven, be done here on earth.
Right.
Adam was saying the same thing. He was, by revelation, he knew what to name them.
Right.
So speaking the word is not you coming up with something new, but it's saying something that's already been declared.
Right.
Even in the examples that we have of the manifestation of the third pull by the spoken word in our message, every example involves the Lord speaking something and then a man repeating what's already been spoken and believing it. So this walk of faith, it's a disciplined walk. It's a walk that requires steadfastness, that requires a focus, it requires effort. It requires diligence. It requires sincerity. But it's not beyond the capability of any of us. Now, if you think that's not fair, well, why do we give all of that to our jobs and to the world and to a video game or whatever? We give diligence and sincerity and focus and steadfastness and effort, and we give all of those things. Well, those things are a perversion of what your purpose is here in this life. They're not the perfect understanding of what God has put you here for. So if we can have those kinds of things for lesser things, how much more for what you're really put here for? So it requires the constant filtering of our sensory inputs, as we've been speaking on here for a couple of weeks now, filtering our sensory inputs, filtering our thoughts through the Word, running it through the filter of the Word. And if it doesn't pass through that filter, then we cast it down. I've run into many over the years that ask, well, how will I know if it's in the Word or not? Well, let's say you bought a car. If you want to know how the car operates and what you can and can't do with it, where would you look?
Right.
I'm speaking to the older generation because these things may not exist any longer. How about the manual? Yeah, the owner's manual. Would that be a good place to look? That might be a good start. I'm here to tell you, friends, that the Word of God is man's owner's manual to this earth. Right. And to the heavenly kingdom and to man's inheritance.
Right.
Everything that you have need of for your life's journey is in that manual. You won't find all knowledge in the Bible. You will not find all knowledge of the universe in the Bible. It's not in that manual because that's not the purpose for it. And you don't need all that knowledge anyway. It may be interesting, but you don't need it. But you will find the keys to your home in that manual. And you will find the authority for you to have dominion over this earth. You will find that in your manual. And you will find in it a description of everything that belongs to you. And all the buttons and all the knobs and how everything works. How it operates and when to use it and when not to use it. And if you needed anything else for your journey, God would have supplied it. You say, well, what about the message? Well, what is the message?
Right.
It's the revelation of what's already in the book.
Yeah.
It's just the opening of what's in the book. It's light that shines on the owner's manual so that you can read it. It's the placing of that opened and illuminated owner's manual back in your hands. But it won't do you any good sitting on your shelf. It won't do you any good collecting dust. The word must be applied to your life.
Amen.
In order for you to overcome in this age, friends, in order for you to overcome your enemies, in order for you to possess your inheritance and to walk into all the promises of God, you must apply the word in your life.
Yes.
Now, doctors, medical doctors, they do what's called practice medicine, right? Kind of a... If you look at that word, you know, in one sense, you know, practicing is something that you're trying or attempting. And, you know, do you really want somebody practicing medicine on you? My entire experience with the medical profession when I was growing up was on military bases, you know. And everybody said, oh, my, you know, the civilian people would think, oh, you're just so lucky because, you know, you got free medical care and, you know, you can go to the doctor whenever you needed to or whatever. They really were practicing medicine. They were really learning on the job. And, you know, there was a lot of people that were sent home that had a heart attack and they were told it was indigestion and they ended up dying. And, I mean, they were learning. They literally, I remember I went in one time and You know, we were not the type of family to just run off to the emergency room every time our nose ran or you got a splinter or hangnail or whatever. You had to be pretty bad off to go to the hospital. And I'm not criticizing anybody that does. I'm just telling you this was my upbringing. This is, you know, you didn't want to go to the doctor, you know. But you would go if it was something that you needed to do. Well, my throat was so sore that I could barely swallow, and every time that I swallowed, it felt like I was swallowing knives. Anybody ever experienced that before? And I knew that this wasn't just sniffles. I knew that it wasn't just a cold, if you will. And you know, and I don't know why people go to the doctor with a cold, because the doctor's just going to tell you got a cold. There's no cure for it. So anyway, I knew that it was something serious, and so I went, and I was being, I was being treated like, okay, just wait your turn, and you know, this kid is coming, and he's got sniffles or whatever, you know. So they weren't real excited about me being there either. I didn't want to be there. They didn't really want me to be there, and I had to wait. You know, that was the other part. They just wait and wait and wait. You know, it's kind of rubbing salt in the wound. And they were, you know, kind of giving me looks and what have you. And then I finally got to see the doctor. And the doctor in this case was, you know, there were lots of other lower-ranking medical personnel that were working there. But the doctor was a full bird colonel. You know, the next rank from that is a general. So he was the real deal. He was an older guy. I say older guy. He was probably younger than me. But through my eyes at that time, you know, he had a lot of experience and good bedside manner. He was a real doctor. He wasn't practicing medicine. He said, open your mouth. And I opened my mouth, and he took one look, and he says, yep, strep throat. You got strep throat. And all these people that were rolling their eyes at me, all these people that were looking at me thinking, you know, what are you doing here? All of a sudden, they rushed over. Really? Let me see. They really were practicing medicine. I hadn't seen that before. Well, you see those white spots back there on the epiglottis that's hanging down there in the back? And, yep, sure enough. And I felt vindicated. It's like, see, told you so. I wasn't excited about having it, but at least I wasn't being treated like a pariah any longer, or, you know, somebody that was just looking for attention. I can think of a lot better ways of getting attention than spending your day in an emergency room. So we use the term a lot of times practicing medicine, but that's not really what's meant by it. You know, you set up a medical practice. It means that you're carrying out the practice of medicine, right? So doctors practice medicine, but you and I, we should be practicing our faith in the Word, by applying it to the circumstances that are in our lives. And friends, that's exactly why you have circumstances in your life. And until that breaks on you, you're gonna continue to go through patterns of discouragement and self-pity. And why do these things happen to me? They happen to you for a purpose. And if you'll just apply the Word to that circumstance, you'll get through it. Amen. And you'll be stronger for it. And you'll know God in a greater way. Amen? And you'll learn the lesson that God is trying, God wants you to learn from that circumstance. When you got saved, you confessed your salvation, and then you began walking in it.
Right.
Healing's no different, friends. Right. You confess your healing, and then you begin walking in it. Yeah. But then sickness will come around and knock on your door once again down the road, just as no doubt the enemy will come and try to creep in and get you to have doubtful thoughts concerning your salvation. These bodies were not built to never wear out. Oh, come on. Didn't you read the manual? There isn't a lifetime. Well, there is a lifetime warranty. But it's a lifetime. And it does. There's nothing in there that tells you how many miles that is.
Yeah.
It's not 60,000 miles or 100,000 miles. For some of us, it might be 20,000.
Right.
For some, it might be a million. We don't know how many miles we have left to go. We just know that we got a lifetime, whatever that might be.
Amen.
And then our bodies are wearing out. They started wearing out when you were being formed in the womb. Death has reigned in these bodies ever since Adam.
Right.
So these bodies were not built to never wear out. But God does want you to walk in good health, even as your soul prospers and is in good health. These bodies are time limited, and they have an expiration date. And all of us have an upcoming appointment with destiny.
Right.
And we shouldn't be so surprised when it happens.
Right.
But we can live in peace, and we can be full of joy, and we can know the will of God for our lives, and we can have victory, and we can be delivered from the bondage of corruption that was in our flesh through sin, and we can be partakers of the divine nature, and we can manifest the character of sons and daughters of God after the image and likeness of Christ Jesus our Lord while we're in these rental units, if you will. We don't have to die sick. But if you do die sick, you won't be sick when you wake up. I believe that God could just take us when our time comes. But there's nothing wrong if you go some other way. He can take us without sickness. But he can also let a drunk driver hit you on the road and take you that way. Divine healing is not, it isn't limited to young people. Thank the Lord. Because us older ones, we actually need more divine healing. The higher we go up the mountain, our joints start giving out, our nerves start getting out, our minds start giving out. But healing has been purchased, and Jesus tells us it's the bread of the children. And yet a sinner oftentimes can receive healing, not even believing on the Lord for salvation. They can receive healing many times easier than a Christian because we put so many conditions on our healing and God didn't put any on that.
Right.
How much more should a believer be able to benefit from the bread of the children?
Yes.
It was purchased for you and I. In the message expectations, if Jonah backslid, the belly of a whale, 5 miles deep, see, 5 times 5,280 feet is a mile, so, you know, roughly 5 times 5 is 25,000 plus 5 times 2, so about 26,000 and change feet, right? Oh, 20 feet of dark water is enough for me. 10 feet, if I can't touch the bottom and I can't see, then I don't know what's down there trying to grab my leg. We went to Elephant Butte Lake over in, what is that, the Rio Grande in New Mexico. We got lied to. You know how you read these reports, right? Oh, year-round weather, and it's just real nice, and you know, and it shows you some temperatures and all that. They're just lying. We got there, and it looked like the backside of the moon. It looked like Blythe, you know. And everything's dead and dry, and there was water, right? And you just wanted to be in it, and so. We were doing some fishing, and Mike said, "Let me out over in this little cove." And the water level was a little higher that year than it had been, so there's lots of submerged trees. And Mike's just kind of floating around in the little cove over there. And then he calls out, "Hey, come get me!" He says, "There's a snake out here." And he's not panicking or anything, but he says, "There's a snake, and it just crawled on my leg," you know. Thought, I think you just imagined it. You know, snakes don't like water, right? That's what I was told. Did you know that cobras are water snakes? That's why people get bit so much during the monsoon season, is because the water level rises and they come up into the houses. And I'm baptized in rice paddies, and I was very well aware at that point that there were water snakes. So, but I was in the line of duty, so I wasn't worried about it. But I didn't want the line to continue to grow any longer than it was, as much as I wanted people to give their hearts to the Lord. Anyway, so we get over there, and Mike says, yeah, it was a rattlesnake. And I'm thinking, snake, and then rattlesnake. And then he explains to us, he said he was treading water, and he said he felt something wrap around his leg. And so he took his other leg and just kind of pushed it off. And then the snake wrapped around his other leg, and he pushed it off of that. And then the snake came up and surfaced and swam over to one of these trees that was sticking up, that was mostly submerged, but there was a portion of it sticking up. It was a rattlesnake. I'd never get back in the water again in my life. He was just the cool as a cucumber, you know. You'd have heard me all over the lake. I'd have screamed like a girl. What was the point of this? There was a point in there somewhere. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Goodness. So, decided to go to Roosevelt Lake here a couple of weeks ago. You know, hadn't been there for a while. Somebody posted how they were fishing back in one of these coves. Well, that's where you want to be. You want to be back in these coves. And because the bass are coming in to the shallows to lay their eggs, and then they'll go back out into deeper water when the water gets a little warmer. And so I see somebody had posted how they were back in this cove, and the guy's fishing on the front of his boat, and he looks back, and there's a rattlesnake in his boat. And it had swam, it was in the water, and it swam over, and somehow it got inside of his boat. And, you know, it must have been my kid's cousin, because he just went over and grabbed a net and just kind of gently scooped him up and, you know, deposited him somewhere. I would have screamed again. So, 5 miles deep, over 26,000 feet deep. The belly of a whale, 5 miles deep, whale's belly all around him, could look towards a natural earthly tabernacle, temple, through a prayer of an earthly man that had been prayed and that had prayed and believed that God heard it. How much more ought you and I as Christians, bound with diseases, look towards the heavens where Christ sits at the right hand of God with his own blood, making intercessions now for anything? Symptoms, they are lying vanities. Don't receive them. Don't have nothing to do with them. Don't put a pink bow on them. Don't pet them. Don't look for sympathy. That's a spirit trying to remain feasting on your body. Don't have nothing to do with them. If you look to them, you're looking away from God. Whew. You can't look at God and look at your symptoms at the same time. If you look to them, you're looking away from God. We look at the unseen. Faith is the substance of things that hope for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. We look at the unseen, not at what we see. No one can look at what they see and be a Christian. Our whole walk is based on what we can't see. But we've been promised. We've been told. And we believe. And we're not just believers based on hope, but God proves it over and over and over. He proves that we're not following cunningly devised fables. In fact, the very first thing that happens to you is you give your heart to the Lord and you feel this tremendous burden of heaviness of sin lift from you. And it's unseen. There's no You can't go to a doctor and have him do some kind of, oh, I see that your sin's gone now. You're looking pretty good. It's the unseen. In fact, where are your sins? When they were there, where were they? It's unseen. We look at the unseen, not at what we see. No one could look at what they see and be a Christian. You've got to believe the things that's unseen. For it's by faith that you are healed, and not by sight or by feeling. So, think about this, friends. Jonah was actually in a pretty good place because he could not see inside this whale's belly. So any of his natural senses wouldn't have helped him anyway. He couldn't rely on them because they weren't giving him any information, except that it's dark and there's probably snakes out there. There might have been a snake in the belly. How was he going to look towards the temple? Well, the way that he looked towards the temple was that he changed his view from the fish's belly, right, Grayson? The fish's belly. He turned his view from, I was going to say whale's belly, but it's the fish's belly, right? He turned his view from the fish's belly to the temple of the Lord. Now, how could he see the temple of the Lord? By faith. So that simply means, friends, to turn your focus from your troubles and instead focus on your promises. Amen. Instead of going through all the great details of your problems, why don't you go through all the great details of your promises? Your overcoming actually depends on this. This is the part that you do. Now, if Jonah could look toward a man-constructed temple, how much more should you and I be able to look to the heavens and look to our high priest and touch the hem of his garment, get a hold of him? Is there anybody here tonight that's as bad off as Jonah? Just consider his circumstances for a moment. He knew that he took a ship to Tarsus instead of Nineveh. He knew that. Yet, what did he look to? What did he look away from? We look tonight, friends, at our high priest. And our high priest never fails. Amen. And can never fail. Amen. Jesus never once asked us to understand anything. But instead, he asked us to believe. He says, do you believe me? Amen. And our part is to only believe. Oh, I'm going to keep saying it, friends, until it just becomes part of our dialogue, part of our conversation. Only, believe. Only, believe. Only, believe. Only. Believe. Okay, then why are we trying to do all this other stuff? Again, what if somebody came up in the morning to your door, express agent, and throwed a whole basket full of rattlesnakes and had your name on them and said, here. Here they are. They're yours. You know they're there, just like you know your symptoms is there. If you receive them, they're yours. This is such a good analogy, friends. If you receive them, they're yours. But you don't have to take them. You can say, I don't want them. And he'll say to you, well, your name's on the package. Do you realize you don't have to sign for anything? You don't have to receive anything? You just say, I don't want them. I won't have them. Not only do I not want them, I won't take them. He can stand there and argue as much as he wants to. And that's what your lying symptoms will do. That's what a devil will try to do, is argue with you. But until you take them and sign for them, they belong to the express company. Until you sign for them. Don't sign for nothing the devil brings. You say, there it is, though I refuse to have it. That's right, take it back, have nothing to do with it. If you won't testify that you got it, When you testify, you still have your sickness. The devil keeps it with you, but refuse to testify of it and say, I won't have it. No, sir.
Amen.
I won't have it. No, sir. Now, some of us are just so melancholic, so touchy, and maybe we've spent our whole life focused on our feelings, and nobody's had enough love for you to get after you.
Right.
And you know, some people just get mad as a hornet,
right.
And they get, so, oh, well, you just don't love me. I have other ways of loving you,
right?
My love for you is to not have pity over the rattlesnakes that you received that you didn't have to sign for. Why should I listen to your first, second, and third pull of something that God has provided you a solution for?
Right.
That's good.
Don't sign for anything that the devil gives you.
Right.
Refuse to testify of it.
Right.
Friends, when somebody asks you, how are you doing? And you say, good. Your soul's doing just fine.
Yeah.
Right? You may be going through some symptoms. But if you say bad, poor, and you go through that, you know, we used to do that. I don't know if anybody grew up in a family like, I suppose we were probably like every other family. I don't know. There was, other than the fact that there was four of us that were born in 3 years, there's 3 years age difference between the youngest and the oldest. So we were best friends and worst enemies, just depending on what time of the day it was. But we get the idea sometimes that we didn't want to go to school, right? And so you wake up, and I think my throat's a little scratchy, you know, like some of you do on Sunday. But on Monday, you're just fine. I think my throat is just a little sore, right? And you start focusing on that, and you start confessing it, and you start working on it. And guess what? A little later on, you're actually sick. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's happened to me. Okay, my family's weird. All right. We try to, I remember one time, my mom got wise to it, and this is why we shouldn't cry wolf, friends, because sometimes it's going to be real, right? I remember one time my sister, we'd all try and jump on, you know, I'm sorry to admit this, but, you know, Wednesday nights, later on as we were in our teenage years, we're getting older, my sisters came up with this one, and, you know, we'd try and borrow it. And, I gotta watch this program that's on TV on Wednesday night for school, and I gotta give a report on it, so I can't go to church, you know. I don't know how my parents fell for that one, you know. Oh, yeah, me too, you know. Well, that's a good one, you know. They did get wise to it after a while, and, just as they got wise to the sickness, you know. So I remember one time my sister was... We came to the breakfast table, and I wasn't feeling well, but I wasn't, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about sickness, and, you know, we just try and push through it, and there was always a lot of sickness going around in the cold weather in the wintertime, and so I remember this one particular morning, I was really, you know, feeling kind of poorly, and I was thinking about telling my mom about it, but I didn't really want to miss school, but then my sister pipes up and says she's not feeling well. And my mom puts her hand on her forehead and whatever. And can I stay home? And then my other sister says the same thing. And so I said, you know, actually, I don't feel too well either. My mom looks at me, Douglas, you're going to school. She figured that I was crying wolf and making the story up, you know. Well, I got to school and I told the teacher the same thing. And the teacher... didn't get too excited about it. And then I went to gym class, and our gym teacher, one of the things that we were supposed to do, we're on one side of the gym, and you're supposed to run from one side to the other. Well, I got about halfway across the floor, and I threw up all over the place. And I feel sorry for whoever the janitor, whoever it was, but I really was sick, you know. Then they took me into the sick bay, and, you know, the little nurse was taking care of me, and my mom came and got me. But so that was the real deal, you know. But we would do that, you know. We, We would, we'd say, I'm sick. And I can remember on some occasions actually feeling sick after, you know, you talk about it. You're inviting a devil. It becomes, and those are things that we should be careful with. You're opening yourself up to a devil. You know, just like those people that had, that were coming to expose Brother Branham, or so they thought, and they wrote things on their card, and they were going to challenge him to, you know, because they didn't believe that he was actually going to be able to call out what it was. And actually, they didn't have what they wrote on the card, right? And but he was wise. The Spirit of the Lord showed him, and he says, "Whatever's on your card, you got it." Right? And it was epilepsy. And, you know, a whole bunch of them broke out and epileptic because of that. So it's not something to play with. Right. The anointing is of the devil.
Yeah.
Right? So are we listening tonight?
Yeah.
We don't want to spend much time. Sure, we want to be clinical about it. Sure, you know, I got this symptom. I got this. This is coming on me. You know, would you join me in prayer, or would you agree with me concerning this thing? You know, I'm in the middle of a battle. I'm in the middle of a trial. Right. But don't fear it and don't confess it. And don't focus on it. Don't testify of it. Brother Branham saw a man in a vision that had a three-cornered club, a stick that, you know, had three sides to it. And this man was taking this club, and he was repeatedly beating this woman over the head with it. Of course, he gave us the interpretation of it, that she was the woman was the church, and the three-cornered club was the Trinity doctrine that she was being pounded on the head with. And so every time that she tried to get up, this man would hit her again, knock her onto the ground. And Brother Branham, his righteous indignation rose up within him in this vision. And he said, he finally said, you know, I've had enough of it. And he said, you leave her alone. If you strike her again, you're going to have to deal with me. He said, when I said that, immediately faith muscles began to grow. And friends, faith muscles are developed when we face our mountains. We aren't born with faith muscles. We have to take that faith that we have and put it into action. You say, well, I don't have any faith. Well, that's a lie, because the scripture says to every man is given a measure of faith. But if you don't use it, it'll atrophy. Man, I'm just full of stories here tonight. I got a great uncle that was in World War II, and I'm not being critical. I wouldn't want to go to war. You know, I'm not in that situation, so I don't know what I would do. But many of my relatives fought in wars through several generations. But this particular one, he didn't want to go. You know, I suppose there were different ones that went and died, and he didn't want to be one of those statistics. And so he just decided that he was going to quit using his arm. Now, I can't imagine the amount of discipline that it must have taken to not use your arm. I mean, you do things without even, I mean, I'm moving my hand right now. I'm not thinking, okay, move your hand, right? But to just let it just hang there. I don't know if he tied it to his body. I don't know I don't know the full story. What I do know was that it got to the point where his arm began to atrophy, right? And it got to the place where he couldn't actually use the arm, and he didn't have to go to war because of that. You know, it was 4-H, whatever that stands for. You know, he was allowed to stay back. And I saw him. I was less than 10 years old. I don't remember exactly how old, but I saw him at a family reunion back in Indiana one time, and his arm was actually kind of shriveled. You know. It never did recover, because you don't use it, you lose it, right? Faith is the same way, friends. If you don't use it, it won't grow. And if you're not careful, it'll atrophy after a while. Even what you have will be taken away. So I trust that there's nobody here that's in that condition here tonight. But it's something to be mindful of. You know, you got to use it in order for it to grow. Notice he says, oh my, that's when you're getting faith. Give your faith a chance. Turn it loose. Unbridle it. Let it work. You got it all bound down with traditions. Turn it loose. Cut it loose. Let God have his way with you. Somebody's word's right. Either what you're looking at or what God says. God's word is true. Believe it, all right? But the first time you testify of your sickness, it brings you right down to that realm again. We're fighting a battle, and you just enabled your enemy by testifying of your sickness. Let me say this again. But the first time you testify of your sickness, it brings you right down to that realm again. You signed for it. Refuse to sign for it. Testify of what you believe.
Amen.
I'm well, thank you.
Amen.
Or as Mark Spencer would say, as the salesman that Joel and I worked with, every time you'd meet this guy, you'd say, "How are you doing?" "I'm blessed and highly favored." Right? You say, "Oh, that's just phony." "Well, what would you rather him say?"
Right.
"Oh, well, you know, actually, I got this eyelash that's broke, and my spleen hurts, and I'm blessed and highly favored." That's the truth. You are blessed and highly favored. Why not testify of it? Brother Branham gives us his own personal testimony of how he overcame a stomach problem, which he wasn't completely delivered of the symptoms of until he was 56 years old. He says, "When I had stomach trouble so bad, till even the doctors, that's what Mayo Clinic 2 here in Phoenix, he says, I accepted him upon this scripture. He's the high priest of my confession. I said, I refuse to testify anymore. Nothing but what God says, I believe his word. Jesus died to heal us. Every one of you is healed. Every one of you is healed right now. Jesus has already healed you. He's already saved you too. You just have to confess it and believe it. That's right. By his stripes, you were, past tense, healed. That's when he did it at Calvary. That's when he overcame all sickness and sin and all at Calvary for you. Just like a table set, it's there. The only thing you have to do is go eat. You have to accept it, believe it in your heart, and confess it. And he's the high priest of your confession.
Amen.
When I started to eat and I swallowed the first mouthful, remember he had this stomach problem, just this acid stomach. He had to be real careful what he ate. And if he ate certain things, it would just make him sick and he would throw up. And so the Lord spoke to him in the scriptures in James, "If there be any sick or afflicted amongst you, call the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." And so he went to Brother Roy Davis and said, "I want you to pray for me." He didn't even care if Roy Davis believed it or not, because that scripture doesn't say whether they believe it or not. It's saying, you call the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil and pray for you, and the prayer of faith will save you, right? Well, he had faith in that, and he was walking in it. And so he said, "I want you to pray for me." And then after that, he says, "I'm just not going to consider this the circumstances," right? He says, "I refuse to testify any more of it. Nothing but what God says. I believe his word. Jesus died to heal us. Every one of you is healed. Every one of you is healed right now. Jesus has already healed you. You just have to confess it and believe it." That's right. "By his stripes, you were," past tense, "healed." That's what he did at Calvary. And that's when he overcome all sickness and sin at Calvary for you, just like the table set. It's there. Only thing you have to do is go eat. You have to accept it, believe in your heart, confess it, and he's the high priest of your confession. "When I started to eat and I swallowed the first mouthful," now he made up his mind, he says, "I'm healed." And so he said, "I'm going to eat a bunch of beans and I'm going to eat some cornbread and what have you." And those are the worst, anybody that's ever had any problems with your stomach, those are some of the worst things. The doctor said, "Well, one mouthful, if he eats, it'll be indigestion. And boy, you'd die right now." Well, And I eat beans and cornbread and onions. Oh, that's another one. That's a gift that keeps on giving all day long. Yes, sir. And I took it and I asked blessing over it. And I got it in my mouth and I chewed it up and I swallowed it. And the devil said, you'll die. Now that's what he'll do. And here it come right back up. And I held my hand over my mouth. And I swallowed it back down again. And I said, no, sir. I refuse. No, sir. Somebody's right. Either what my system said or what God said, I'm looking at what he said. Amen. That's faith's battle, friends. So you step out, and devils will try to bring real evidence before you, symptoms, trying to get you to focus on the problem. My wife and her mother and her sister, they all work together at Lompoc Hospital. And, you know, sometimes we go over to my wife's parents' house after work and have dinner and whenever they got together. So they're working together all day. And then here we are at the house and they're talking shop after work. You know, well, did you hear about so-and-so and his brains were spilling out? And, you know... Yeah, and just so casually. Well, you got to be able to talk about it casually. You would go crazy, I suppose. But my wife would hear about certain ailments, and she would begin to look at all those symptoms, and oh, I wonder if Ben's got leukemia, you know? And it's like, where did you get that? And friends, do you realize you can go look at these things, and you can find symptoms? Yeah, I got that one, and... Yeah, maybe, right? You can convince yourself that you're dying of all kinds of diseases and you're healthy. We get on the internet and we self-diagnose our conditions. And what good does that do us? The solution is always the same. We need to self-diagnose, all right, but we need to use the word to do it. The word says, by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Thou art the Lord that healeth me. Yes. Thou art the Lord that heals all my diseases. You're my deliverer. You're my strength. You're my song. You're my comfort. You're my all in all. That's what the word says. He says, I went out on the street and the hot water running down my mouth as soon as, and I was singing. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. I can, I will, I do believe. Someone said, well, how are you feeling? This is case, well, you know, actually, I got this indigestion and heartburn. And do you have any Tums? How about Maalox? He says, wonderful. Oh, you're such a liar. How could you call yourself a Christian? Wonderful? Really? Sure. You healed? Sure. How are you feeling? Fine. Anything wrong? Nothing. And go, and Brother Branham illustrates, and it goes back up again. How are you feeling? Fine. Are you healed? Sure. I stayed right with it day after day. Week after week, and I was healed one morning. I believed him. I took him at his word. Nobody ever cast it away from me, but the word said so. And the word of God will defeat Satan any place, anytime, anywhere, and on any condition. That's right. That's what it is. It's God's word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Believe it. Amen. Again, he says, gifts are added to stimulate faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And that's where faith comes, by hearing the word of salvation. It's just like this, Jesus. But God said, come unto me, all the ends of the earth, and drink. A little tree, when it's planted in the earth, a little apple tree, about that big, it's stuck right out in the ground. Every apple that will ever be on that tree, every blossom, every leaf, every limb that'll ever be on that tree, it's in it right then. If it isn't, where did it come from? Now the tree is put into the ground, and the only thing the tree does is drink. It just drinks and drinks until it swells out and until it pushes out limbs and blossoms and apples. And Christ is the inexhaustible fountain of life. We are planted in Him by the Holy Spirit, and then we just drink from Him. And every person that's a Christian, the devil don't care how much you come to Christ as long as you don't drink. You can stand at the table and your mouth watering and say, well, I'm here. Well, you're afraid to turn your faith loose, see? So the devil doesn't care if you come to Christ, he says. What worries him is when you drink in and push out. The word in action, in other words. In the message, Who is God? He says, when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. Why don't you help your body along, friends? God can work on a confession that's according to His word. But a negative confession, what's He going to do with it?
Right.
God will make your body come into your confession. If you say you're a drunkard and want to drink, don't worry. You'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, well, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, your testimony will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it. And God will make your body obey your confession. For He's the high priest of your complaining, of your confession. Sitting at the right hand of the Father now with His own blood to make intercessions for any confession upon anything that He died for. That's what Paul taught us, right? Friends, it's okay to lay hands on others and to anoint them with oil. There's many roots and many promises that we have in the Scripture. But this is just simply taking God at His word. Again, he says, I'm thinking now that the best doctors the United States has got 2 years ago said, Reverend Branham, there's not a chance for you. Oh, it makes my heart sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They're sitting at the Mayo Clinic. They said, you broke yourself, boy. You'll never come out of it. And I turned to the old word. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you shall have them. And I said, Father, place them in my heart. I shall water them with faith day and night. He says, tonight I stand in perfect health.
Right.
Once a blind man led me by my arms. I couldn't see a thing. Just objects in front of me moving. Only daylight was dark. And tonight my eyes test 20/20. We were just talking about that, right? Today, my eyes test 20/20. Why? I took God's word. No one with a gift to cast the spirit away. The word will do it. The word will do it. Faith in God's word. So the high priest will make your body line up to your confession. He will make that your reality. We've got people sitting around waiting for another gift. We've got, friends, it's, nothing's easy. Whatever you're called to do, it's not going to be easy. But I can't tell you how many times that people have asked for prayer, and we prayed for them, and their testimony is that nothing happened. And then somebody else came along, and they asked that person to pray. And then something happened. And so then they look at me like, supposedly, you're praying for people and supposedly it's supposed to be a help and whatever. But I don't have any confidence in you. And well, you never did. That's the problem.
Right.
You never had confidence in the prayer that went forth.
Right. Right.
Oh, I know this sounds black and white, but it is black and white, friends. I can remember my aunt sitting at a table with my brother and my mother and my father, and we're sitting around the table, and Her husband died. He was an alcoholic and had some other issues and what have you. But he was in the hospital, and you know, it was a long, slow death. And then he ended up dying. And my aunt is sitting there at the table saying, you know, well, I don't understand. You know, I prayed and I asked God and I believed. And everybody's supporting her, my brother, my mother, they're all supporting her. And I believed, and yet he died. And I was the one that had to kind of deliver the news that, well, actually you didn't believe, right? You said, oh, that's cruel. Listen, is it better to show that what she was saying wasn't true, or is it better to correct God? Because God said, if you believe, all things are possible, right? If she truly believed, he wouldn't have died. But people don't know what faith is. Faith is a revelation. It's not hope. It's not you trying to believe something. And that's what people do for so much of the time. They try to believe something, and then they get mad at God when it doesn't work out because it was a mental faith. They're trying to work something up, right? But faith is real. I mean, when it drops in your heart that you're healed, it doesn't matter what happens. Nothing's going to keep you from holding on to that. Right? And in this case, if she really was believing, he wouldn't have died. The truth is not always easy, is it? We must believe him. And as we believe, we must act on our confession. We can't say it conscientiously unless we really believe. This is from the message, the works that I do bear witness of me. We can't say it conscientiously unless we really believe it. And then if we really believe it, then we can say it with all our hearts. And know that God answers our prayers and gives us the desire of our hearts. Listen, friends, if we don't drink of this living water, the devil won't get out of bed. Well, good, I just won't take a drink. If we don't drink and then push out, we'll live mediocre lives at best. Somebody must believe this word. And somebody must confess it. We need to say, I'm only going to say what the word says. Amen. That's what it means to have thus saith the Lord, or keep your mouth shut. Again, in the message, as I was with Moses, I've thought of this. If I could pray and God would do something here in the supernatural realms to let you know that he was present, and then surely you would take my word for it. See? You take my word. And then I'd tell you that he was out there and would heal any of you that would confess him to be your healer. Remember, he can never do nothing for you until first you say he's done it. Amen. Most of the time, friends, when we're seeking healing or the baptism of the Holy Ghost or whatever, what we're really seeking is the faith. Because you get the faith for it, it's going to happen. So that's what prayer lines are about, and is trying to encourage and trying to raise the faith level to where you can receive what God's already done for you. Remember, he can never do nothing for you until first you say he's done it. Believe him and accept it and testify of it. Did you know that? He's the high priest of what? Of our what? Confession. Hebrews 3:1. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession upon our confession. See, we've got to believe it and accept it and confess it. And he's before the Father to make good anything that we confess in the redemptive blessings, of course. Now Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and it shall be given to you. Is that right? And verily, verily, I say unto you, if you should say to this mountain in your heart, be cast out, be plucked up, cast away or removed, and doubt it not, but now watch, but believing that those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. See? Whatsoever he saith, see, whatsoever you confess. If you in your heart tonight, if you're dying with heart trouble, if you've got cancer, if you with the appropriated faith, if you believe with all your heart, and just something is anchored there that says, I believe Jesus Christ, I believe him with all my heart, and I now accept him as my healer, and I believe that he heals me, and from your soul you believe that, then say, I am healed.
Amen.
Let him that's weak say, I am strong. See, just say in your heart that I am now strong. I have now accepted Jesus as my healer. We want to hear messages of man back on speaking terms and speaking the word. Well, let's do the little things first.
Right.
The little ABC thing. Let's speak to this earth.
Right.
I am now strong. I have now accepted Jesus as my healer. And never have any negative testimony anymore. Is that important?
Yes.
You better believe it is. Never have any negative testimony anymore. You want ghosts to come around? Tell ghost stories.
Right.
Just believe it. God is under obligation, or Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father to accept you. For he's sitting there, the high priest of your confession, to make good before the Father anything that he died for that you're confessing that he done. There you are. Now, divine healing cannot be any plainer than that. It's the weakest of any. Remember, God's word will defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, any condition. Healing is simply the bread of the children. And friends, without divine healing, how are we going to have a body change? Because divine healing is a portion of your body being healed. The body change is the healing of your complete body. Again, from Only Believe, he says, I remember when I was healed of my stomach trouble. He said, Satan said, well, you better not eat. Said, because the doctor said, if you eat, you'll die. I have an ulcered stomach. And said, it was just one big bloody ulcer. See, what could happen is if you irritate that and, you know, make things worse, you can bleed to death in very short order.
Right.
But the Lord said he healed me. So I had to take somebody's word. So I took God's word. And oh, it liked to burnt me up. Hot water running out of my mouth and 2 or 3 days. And I was going around holding my stomach like this. How are you feeling, Mr. Branham? I said, oh, I feel fine. Tamping away like that. Somebody said, you lied. I did not. I was making a confession. And confess means to say the same thing. By his stripes, I was healed. So that does it. See, I was making my confession, and so Satan said to me, well, you're bringing reproach. And I said, now looky here, old fella. If you enjoy hearing me testify, you just stick around. But if you don't, you might as well get away from me, because I'm going to testify anyhow. So that's it. You just got to let him know what side you're standing on, and then make your stand, and then stand. And that's just the way we got to do always, is get where we know that we're right, and then got faith in that. And you can't have faith unless you're right. Don't you try to do that to bluff him now. He won't take your bluff, see? Don't bluff him. But when you really believe it, you're not bluffing then. Something has already witnessed to you, and then you're right. I don't care. You might not, no one never lay hands on you. You might not never hear anything, but just as long as something has confirmed it in your heart that it's God's word and God's will for you, that's all that's necessary. And many times these gifts and things, they just encourage. That's what they're sent for. Ultimately, you got to believe. Again, he says, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. We were healed. That's Isaiah, prophet Isaiah prophesying. Any of those things, those attributes of his death that we take in our heart and believe to be the truth and confess that he's done it, before we ever feel anything about it, See how important this is? We're not looking at symptoms. We're not looking for evidence. He's before God to make it right, to make intercession. If I was paralyzed and in my heart I believe he healed me, I'd confess that I was healed. Now, if in his heart it wasn't revealed, he wouldn't confess that. The opposite is true, right? But if it's been revealed to you, I'd confess that I was healed. If I couldn't move a muscle and believed it, I'd confess that I was healed. And then if I meant that from my heart, not just mentally upset, but from my heart, if I mean that before God, he's making intercessions upon my confession. That's right. And he has to bring it to pass. Just think of that. Amen. So we can't go by our feelings. Jonah didn't go by his feelings. And he had a lot of feelings. He didn't deny the seaweed. If he did, we wouldn't even have heard. I mean, who was there to tell us that he had seaweed wrapped around him?
Sure.
He didn't deny the seaweed, but he didn't consider it. When your back hurts, you recognize the pain. And the pain lets you know that there's a problem. But then you look away from the problem and turn instead to the solution. You look to your high priest. Can I have just a couple more minutes? I want to just read a few more statements here for you to chew on the rest of the week. The resurrection of Jairus' daughter. Now in his presence, see Hebrews 3:1, he said he's the high priest of our profession. Profess and confess is the same words. Profess anything or confess anything. Confess means to say the same thing. If God said by his stripes we are healed, then I say by his stripes I was healed. He said he bore my sins. I say he bore my sins. I don't have them anymore. He bore them. He said he healed me when he died for me at Calvary with his stripes. I'd say he healed me there. I believe it right now and accept it, and that settles it.
Amen.
And now no matter how I feel or how it looks, if I'd say, well, now look, you say you're healed and look right, look at your body. Well, that don't have a thing to do with it. Not one thing. God's done said so, and I ain't what I can see, it's what I believe. Or it ain't what I can see, it's what I believe. Somebody said, you lied, Brother Branham. No, I never. I believe that when Jesus died, he healed me. I accepted it. It had to be so. I wasn't confessing what I felt. I was confessing what I believed. I believe his word was eternally truth. It couldn't pass away. It was absolutely the truth. And my feelings had nothing to do with it. That's right. That's the way I accept him for my salvation. I'm not saved tonight because I feel happy. That's not the reason I'm saved. I'm not saved because I shout. I'm not saved because I spoke with tongues. That don't make me saved. I'm saved tonight because I met God's condition of his Bible. That's right. God said so, and that's my faith. And I believe I'm saved because I done what he said. Jesus said, whosoever heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I believe it. Amen. I've accepted it on those basis, and that settles it. I'm saved. Satan could beat me around the stump with my feelings. How many knows that?
Yes.
A drunk man could come in and say, I feel just as good as you do, and he probably does. But he hasn't got the faith in the thing that I got. See, I'm saved because not because I feel like it. I'm saved because I've met God's requirement. And you're healed the same way. I believe this is there's two more here. I knowed God's word is truth. That's all. And I poured some more on top of that. It laid right there till breakfast. I had two fried eggs and some more ham the next morning for breakfast. And I kept on like that week in and week out. And I was so nervous. And it looked like trees was running together. And say, well, how are you feeling, Brother Brandon? I would say, wonderful, hallelujah. Stomach bothering you anymore? No, sir. No, sir. Friends, I hope you're listening. Are you all right? Sure, I'm fine. Which would you rather have, healing or sympathy?
Right.
Some people would rather have sympathy.
Right.
But if you want healing, this is how you get it.
Right.
Are you all right? Sure, I'm fine, doing good. How it happened? The Lord healed me. He said, Brother Bram, you lied. No, I never. No, I never. When I accepted him as my healer, he healed me 1,900 years ago. It was settled in my soul. No matter what this was here, in my soul, it was settled. That's where you believe, friends. You believe in your heart. Your heart is your soul. I was testifying not how the body felt. I was what the old soul thought about. And my spirit said, Christ is your healer.
Amen.
And I said, I believe you, Lord. And I stayed right with it. And one day, I kept poking it down and poking it down, and it all left. I eat anything I want to. I went on, and I gained about 35, 40 pounds and feel fine. Oh, he's a healer. But you'll have to show your faith in him. And don't think you're going to a picnic. You're going to a battleground.
Amen.
That's right. And friends, we do injustice preaching a different gospel, that it's all flowery bed of ease and roses and they all lived happily ever after. We do injustice when we preach that kind of nonsense.
Right.
It's a battle.
Yeah, sure.
That's right. You're not to a picnic where everything's handed down to you with a silver spoon. If I must fight, I must fight. If I must reign, increase my courage, Lord. Last one, results of a decision. He says, we find out many times that people rely on their symptoms. You can see I'm kind of touching a nerve here, huh? We find out many times that people rely on their symptoms if they're prayed for. I was going to find the report from Brother Joseph, see how many went away last night after a full week of gospel teaching, how to be healed, that went away and said, well, still got it. See, and you'll probably always have it. See, if you feel that way, faith don't see that thing. Faith sees what God says. Now, friends, there's absolutely nothing in the world wrong with saying, I don't have that faith. In fact, that's the best thing that you can say. Because that's honest. You can say, Lord, now give me that faith. Help my unbelief.
Right.
I'm believing you mentally as hard as I can. Now help my unbelief.
Amen.
Faith sees what God says. Faith don't see any symptoms at all. Faith refuses to see symptoms. So when you're talking about your symptoms, we know who's talking. It's your spirit and not your faith. Because faith doesn't even see it. Faith refuses to see symptoms. You say, well, Brother Branham, if they're there, shouldn't we say they're there? Nope. No, sir. Let's stand. At the sound of thy voice. I realize, friends, that can be a little cutting, a little rough. But we're not, you know, we're not brand new recruits. And even if we are, we gotta go through boot camp. Right? And in boot camp, they don't say, you know, if you feel like it, would you stand to attention? But if you don't want to, I get it. And you know, I'd like it if everybody would put on the same uniform, but if you've got your own ideas, that's fine. You know. Here's your rifle, but if you don't want to use it, that's okay. No, there's an order to it. And we must work according to that order. You know what I love so much about the Word of God is the keys. The little keys that just drop, you know, you come into service and you don't even, you're not even thinking about maybe you're struggling with this or struggling with that, or you wondered about this or that. But all of a sudden, through the preaching of the word, a little key drops in. Yeah. And you realize, if I take that key and stick it in the lock, it's going to open. Yeah. Right? And once you figure that out, you realize, you know what, if I want this certain way, this is the way I'm going to have to do it every time. But I got the key. It's not a mystery any longer. I'm not left wondering. I've got the key. And the first time you put it in and turn that key and it opens up, it's supernatural. But it's naturally supernatural. And nobody can ever take those keys away from you. Isn't that wonderful? You'll never have to be keyless again in your own kingdom. It's in the manual. It belongs to you. Sister Baker and I, we bought that. I never thought I would do something like this, but true confession is good for the soul. We bought the 2014 Honda Odyssey, and you know how it is when you get something new. You don't want the guy to say, now, this is how the wheel turns, and let me show you how to buckle the seatbelt. I'm trivializing it, but, you know, there's some electronics that they put in there that they don't make manuals that are really worth a whole lot, and I'm having trouble making the leap from one generation to another. I mean, the younger ones around us, you're saying, well, who needs a manual? Just go to YouTube, right? Just Google it, right? But the problem is you gotta sort through, right? It's like, okay, well, this guy might be lying, or this guy might be an idiot, right? And it's frustrating because you just give me the manual. I'll go to the back of the
glossary,
the index, whatever. I'll go back there and I'll look under their tachometer. I want to know something about it. And it'll say, turn to page, you know, section 5, page 60. And you go and read on it and you get your answer, right? So that's what we're thinking. And so her entertainment center and the maps and different things in the vehicle, there's a whole lot of electronics in there. They're saying, would you like us to, you know, walk you through this and explain this and explain that? No, we want to go up on Mount Lemmon. We just got the vehicle, you know. We didn't say it like that, but, you know, I don't need no stinking directions, right? If I need to know, I'll go look it up. Well, we went to look it up, and there ain't nothing to look up hardly. And here it is, 7 years later. I'm embarrassed to say this, friends, because I'm an engineer, and I'm constantly learning, constantly. You know, things are changing all the time, and I was having to keep up with the technology. I mean, that was our entire career was on the leading edge. You know, you never rested on your laurels. Things were always changing, and so you changed, right? Well, there's things that I still don't understand about that stupid car. Now, if I had just let the guy explain it to us, wouldn't that have saved us a lot of trouble? And I just don't have it in me to go hang out on YouTube. I don't have the patience for it. I guess that's my way of telling you that it's not really that important, right? Because if it was, I'd do that, right? I mean, there's a way to take your own music and store it on the hard drive there, and everybody's kind of looking at me funny, right? So that you don't need to hook your phone in or mess with a stupid Bluetooth connection, or, right? And you just put it on the hard drive, but I don't know how to do that. And there's certain settings, vehicle settings, and my wife will get in the van all of a sudden, the back entertainment, you know, we got that so that the kids could watch little kid movies or whatever in the back. And, you know, if you're driving, you're not supposed to be watching that, obviously. And that's why it doesn't show up on the front display. But she'll get that going. Actually, when they're not in the car or listening to the radio, and so you listen to that, and then she'd get them in, and she's playing it, and it's not working. Well, there's a setting in there that you've got to change, you know, and go from rear to front, you know, and it doesn't have to make sense. And actually, it doesn't make sense. But if you want to know, you got to read the manual. You got to look it up. Once you know that, it's a key, right? So I have no right to throw any stones at my wife. I'm just one feature ahead of her. I got that one figured out, and I can't understand why she can't figure it out when I've explained it to her. Well, no, you got to push. See where it says rear? You got to push that when you don't want it going to the rear. Now, I know that don't make sense, but that's why you think there's something wrong with the DVD player. There's nothing wrong with it. You just got to push that button. Oh. And then there's the let the grandkids get in the car and push all the buttons. And you're trying to figure out, okay, why? It's nighttime. Why is this screen white and it's blinding me? Where's the night setting? I don't know. Go look it up. Read the manual. Well, we didn't do that. Well, then you go searching through the menus and all that, and you find there's a setting in there, and you're thinking, how did Grayson get to that set? How did Callan get to that setting? You know? Well, they're just pushing buttons, you know. What's the answer? Do your homework. Right? You do your homework, your life's not complicated. It's not stressful. You've got the keys. And as long as the equipment's working right, you have the expectation that every time you go to do that, you put that key in, you're going to get this certain solution. Right? That's the way the Word of God is, friends. It's not going to just come by hearing. You've got to hear it. That's where the faith comes. But then you've got to put the faith into practice. You have to operate that faith. And after a while, it just becomes second nature. After a while, it just gets to the place where you're not even giving thought to it. You don't even give thought to the fact that you tell people, how you doing? Good. It just comes out. That's just your way of being after a while. But it's because you're operating that. Right? It's because you're putting it into practice. I know this is kind of nuts and bolts and mechanics, but you know, there's some of us that are new in the faith. There's some that need a tune-up. And some of us that need a reminder. You know, I'm challenged myself here out of my own mouth. Out of my own mouth. You know, maybe I'm going to, my wife's gone for 10 days. Maybe I'll go read that manual. This might be a good time. It's only been 7 years. Then when she comes back, I'll show her how smart I am. Oh, that? You just pushed this button and then. You know, that's how simple it is with the Word of God, though. It's not complicated, but you got to read it. You gotta look for spiritual food in due season. And then when God shows it to you, you gotta apply it in your life. Amen. How many of you are challenged tonight? Amen. At least a little bit. To say, Lord, I want to do the nuts and bolts. I'm trusting you for the big things. I'll do the little things. And I'm trusting you for the big things. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, forgive us for the chopped up message here tonight. But Lord, you know what you put on my heart. And you know what it is that we have need of. And Lord, we want to take you at your word. We want to take a simple approach. Because you said, except we be as little children, we shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. And you said that your word was written such that a fool would not err therein. You said that you are pleased to reveal these things to those that are like babes, and that you've hidden yourself from the wise and prudent, those that think that they're so smart, those that think that they can figure you out. They can either put you under a microscope or look for you in a telescope and tell you what to do, tell you what you are. But Lord, you are what you are. And we will only know what you are as you reveal yourself to us. So we want to be as little children. We want to be trusting. We want to be believing. We want to be accepting. We don't want to question when it comes to your word. But we want to just take your word and believe it and hold on to it. Now, Lord, we freely admit when we don't have the faith to walk in a promise that you've made us. But Lord, you're not beating us down. You're not looking narrowly at us. You're not upset with us, because we all start out that way. But Lord, just coming to you as a little child, we can just say, teach me, Lord. Teach me your ways. Show me. Show me your ways, Lord, that I may walk in them. Knowing that it's your good pleasure to do these things for us. Knowing that you've already purchased all of these things. Knowing that we have, that there's nothing preventing us from walking in our full inheritance. Lord, may we do that. May we not be sitting back looking for some other meeting, some other revival, some other preacher, some other personality, some other movement. May we just take your word and apply it in our lives and watch you move in our lives. We, of all people, we're without excuse. There's nothing that can stand before our prayers if we believe. And we've been given your word. We don't just have a portion of your word and a whole lot of misunderstanding on the rest of it. We have your full counsel here tonight. So whatever it is that we have need of, we know that we have access. If we just call upon you in faith, believing, you'll speak to our hearts. You'll reveal it. You'll show it to us. You'll give us the keys to show us how to walk in it, how to operate it. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Each and every one of us, we're all at different levels. Lord, we know that human feelings can be touchy. So, Lord, we pray for the balm of Gilead to anoint our feelings tonight, Lord. If there's any human emotions that are ruffled, Lord, whether it's not your desire, you're not trying to beat anyone down. But Lord, we can so protect those feelings that if we're not careful, we'll isolate ourselves from you and from your word and from others, thinking that we're protecting ourselves. When really, Lord, nobody's trying to hurt anybody. What we're trying to do is strip away the feelings, though, because the feelings are lying vanities. The feelings are immaterial. The feelings are not our reality. What is real is your word. And Lord, the greatest compliment that we can pay you is to take you at your word. And the hardest thing for you to do is to get one man to believe another. I wonder, Lord, if that doesn't also apply with you getting us to believe you. We want to take you at your word. And we want to stand on your word and your word alone. I pray that each one would be encouraged to do that, Lord. I pray that each one would reach out with the arm of faith here tonight and come higher in you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that each one of us is challenged to take you at your word in a greater measure than we've done so far. Lord, I'm a human being just like anyone else, and I'm subject to like passions like anyone else. And I freely admit that I've given space to my feelings at times when I shouldn't have. And Lord, I repent of that. I confess it to you. And I know how easy it is. But Lord, you're loving those things off of us and showing us a better way. And the better way is your word. There is no better thing than your word. We want to just take you at your word. We know that your word will never fail, that your word cannot be defeated, and that your word will accomplish what it was sent to do. So, Lord, we wholeheartedly want to cling to your word and deny our symptoms, deny our feelings, deny our inputs, Lord, what our senses declare to us, and instead put our faith and stand upon your unfailing realities of your word. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? I pray that you move upon every heart. I pray that each one would be encouraged, whether they're listening in tonight, Lord, whether they're in the building. I pray that they'd be encouraged, they'd be strengthened, that each one of us would be challenged, Lord, to take another step closer to you, to take you at your word. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Thank you for the simplicity of your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You playing something? Only believe, yeah. Sure. Why not? What a concept. Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into life, he went for his own. All power.
Possible, oh Lord, I believe.
And since I believe, Lord, I receive. Yes, Lord, I receive. I know all things are possible. And so, Lord, I receive. Yes, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive.